All right. Yeah.
Tis Wednesday. Ow! Oh my goodness, it's going to be a great and beautiful day. I have a plan for this day. I'm going to be making fried chicken on National Fried Chicken Day. Of course I am. I'm going to be, of course, writing down the plan that I have for my life. Matt, you can't plan out your life. Well, you know, God has a plan for my life. Maybe I should make a plan for my life as well. Let's dance. Here we go. Matt, you got a mohawk. Yes, I did. Thank God I did. Why? Because it's fun. It's freeing. It's liberating. I don't care what your hair looks like. Just make sure it's clean. No, seriously, guys, I'm so thankful that you're joining me. So thankful that you're here. I apologize if you can't see these great dance moves. You're listening to The Matthew Rayburn Show. If you can see these great dance moves, you are watching The Matthew Rayburn Show live on Facebook every Wednesday and Sunday. And yes, I posted on other social media posts. But Matt, why do you put can you speak? Yes, I can. It's The Matthew Rayburn Show. I put it on Facebook because, well, I did it the first time. I don't know. We're working on the best way to utilize this particular internet space. The Matthew Rayburn Show is about being in a continual state of betterment and a positive force for good. And I'm so thankful for you watching. So thankful for you joining me. Let's continue the show. Yeah, God has a plan for you. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Word of the day. You got to use your words. Otherwise, you got to lose your words. Today's word is fulsome. Fulsome is the word of the day. It's an adjective. F-U-L-S-O-M-E. I love the word fulsome because it doesn't necessarily contradict itself, but it has a positive meaning and a negative meaning at the exact same time. It's fascinating. Fulsome can be a positive term as when it is used to mean abundant, copious, or full of well development. But it has a negative meaning too, such as overdone and excessively flattering. Hey, it's good to be fulsome, but you don't want to be fulsome. Yes, that is a correct English sentence I just spoke. Let's use them in the connotation of positive. The photographs celebrate the island's fulsome biodiversity. A negative connotation would be, while most of the speeches expressed sincere appreciation for the outgoing CEO's leadership, some were dense and fulsome and cringeworthy accolades. I guess I have a fulsome mindset when it comes to life and how I want to be and the goals I want to achieve. I have a fulsome mindset when it comes to how I flirt sometimes and how I flirt. I'm just going to say it like that. I go overboard. I'm quite excessive. When I find something that I like it quite a bit. And so therefore I get kind of fulsome with my words when it comes to dating. That's kind of obvious. obvious and quite honest. Here on the Matthew Rayburn Show is a live show, and so sometimes my thoughts are in between these notes, and so it creates an interesting segment where I get to speak the truth and be quite honest here on the Matthew Rayburn Show. So yes, I'm fulsome, but I'm also very fulsome. You should use fulsome in your vocabulary today. F-U-L-S-O-M-E. I don't want this segment to be fulsome, but I also want it to be fulsome. National Day, you got to celebrate life, and it's easy to do so when you go to nationaldaycalendar.com. Today is National Hand Roll Day. Hand Roll Day. Oh man, I love me some hand rolls. Otherwise known as maki, otherwise known as sushi. For those that don't know about sushi culture, you're just going to call this sushi. January 6th ushers in National Hand Roll Day. With the freshest flavor and style, the day encourages us to explore our senses by experiencing one of sushi's culinary pleasures. Use hashtag National Hand Roll Day in your social media posts today. Japanese sushi hand rolls delights the senses with vibrant color, taste, and texture. Since every delicate hand roll is masterfully designed, the chef presents each one as a work of art. A delicious dip into soy enhances the perfect bite, too. Whether it's spicy or sweet or a combination of both, we delight in eating hand rolls with friends with sake, wine, or Japanese beer. Delicious. Ideally, a hand roll is eaten right away and consists of the freshest fish. Hand rolls also include specialty harvested seaweed, house-made sauces, and warm rice. When everything comes together, the final result is not only beautiful, but incredibly delicious. I think at the sushi restaurant down the street, as well as at the grocery store, hand rolls are half off on Wednesday. but they're not a sponsor of the Matthew Urban Show. I'm just probably going to get some sushi later. If you're never, if you've never had a hand roll, January 6th is the day to do so. Like I said, you probably have specials and hand off, or it was free, I can read, and half off sushi hand rolls today. Remember to use hashtag National Hand Roll Day in your social media posts today. This next one I'm very passionate about because it's one of the southern food groups. It's National Fried Chicken Day. National Fried Chicken Day celebrates life. Why? Because chicken is life. You are life. I am life. Chicken is life. Life. Chicken life. That's weird. In the United States, July 6th, chicken. July 6th, chicken lovers across the country recognize National Fried Chicken Day by feasting at a nearby restaurant, home, or an outdoor picnic. I like fried chicken cold. I like fried chicken lukewarm. I like fried chicken spicy. I like chicken fried chicken hot, fresh out of the fryer. I like fried chicken curry style. I like fried chicken jerk style. I like fried chicken. Okay, you like fried chicken? Comment down below. Who doesn't like fried chicken? What are you, fried? Anyways, Scottish immigrants brought the tradition of deep frying chicken in fat to the southern United States. After this introduction, the introduction to American South fried chicken soon became a staple. Over time, cooks added seasoning and spices to enrich the flavor of the chicken. If you're not seasoning your flour, you're doing it wrong. You must season your flour. Salt and black pepper. That's all you got to do. But you can get it creative and have fun with like paprika, garlic, garam masala, whatever the case may be. Okay? You must season the flour. You must. And then you can season it afterwards, of course, with more salt and pepper. But you got to season the flour. It's very intense and very important. You might want to brine your chicken as well. You might want to soak it in buttermilk and black pepper overnight. Helps pull out the juices and then infuses the milk into the meat, you know, sinews. And so you get a juicier bite of fried chicken. Fried chicken is a dish consisting of pieces of chicken, floured or battered, pan-fried, deep-fried, pressure-fried. I've also had baked fried. It's like a blend of oil and baking. It's kind of fun and different. The breading adds a crisp coating to the exterior of the chicken. Knowing how to get a good crisp on the chicken may seem elusive to some. However, some of the best cooks will tell you the keys to achieving the crispiest fried chicken involves seasoning. Hello! Seasoning well and early in the process. Hello! Listen to the Matthew Urban Show. You learn how to make fried chicken. Come on now. The oil should be 300 degrees. Finally, let the chicken rest before serving it to allow the juices to absorb back into the meat. Just like beef or pork, the chicken will be more tender when you allow it to rest. I'm dead serious. You're a dark meat guy. You're a white meat guy. You're a both kind of guy. You're a gal, whomever, you know, whatever you think you are, Jim's. Anyways, use hashtag National Fried Chicken Day in your social media posts today. Yes, I'll be eating some sushi. Yes, I'll be eating some fried chicken. I'm going to try to put some fried chicken in my sushi. National Day! Kingdom Landscape. Kingdom Landscape can service all of your landscaping and hardscaping needs. Call Austin Moxley at 317-296-3974. That's 317-296-3974. Matt, have you seen his work? Yes, I've seen his work. It's quite immaculate. It's quite beautiful. His estimates are free, and his quality work will get the job done in the way that you need it to be done. Once again, call Austin Moxley at 317-296-3974 for some of the best landscaping and hardscaping in the central Indiana area. Weird news. I love weird things and I love news. And to get together, it creates the weird news segment of the Matthew Urban Show. Headline, invasion of the giant snails. Apparently, they're an extremely invasive species. Giant African land snails known as galls. It's an acronym, but they call them galls, not gals, galls. I had to click on it to find out the pronunciation. Have returned to the state of Florida after being eradicated twice before over the years. The invasive creatures can grow up to 8 inches long and have a ravenous appetite, eating more than 500 types of different flora and plants, and even chowing down on stucco and concrete walls. That is ridiculous. That is crazy. That is weird. And if that wasn't bad enough, the snail, known to lay thousands of eggs in its lifespan, can also carry salmonella and the parasite rat lungworm, which can cause meningitis in humans. Consequently, parts of Pasco County are under quarantine. Come on now. That's some bad snail situation. Now, after the mollusks were spotted in the city of Port Richie, north of Tampa, called one of the most invasive pests on the planet by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Surprisingly, some people like to keep them as pets. That is actually considered to be illegal in the entire United States. That is fascinating. But I don't think you get in trouble in Alaska but I think you'd probably have to keep the mollusk underneath a heat lamp. I did some further research on this particular quarantine situation. So I went to FDACS.gov, which is the Florida Department of Agriculture Services.gov. So that has a PSA here, and it's kind of funny how they have the different types of snail and then the which ones that are being evasively around Florida. Yes, they're originally from Africa. They attach themselves to trash. They attach themselves to shipping materials, so that, and then underneath of things, so you can't really see them. They're gross, okay? But when I say gross, I mean in the sense that they look gross. They're not actually gross because God created all creatures. But I'm just saying, like, it's just weird looking. We're looking at these doctors and scientists holding them. And then there's proper ways to remove them. There's proper ways to get rid of them. Let's see here. Snails in general seem like slow, relatively harmless plant snacking animals, but the galls is on another level. The Department of Agriculture describes the snail as one of the most invasive species pets on the planet, causing I read that part. Okay, read that part too. Whoa, here we go. Okay, yeah. There are thousands of eggs during its lifespan and can travel by clinging to vehicles and trash. Vehicles and trash. And another bad news, the snails can carry salmonella. They can also harm you with that particular meningitis disease. The people that wear gloves follow proper protection. So I wanted to know, like, if I found one in my home in Florida, what should I do? If you're listening to the Matthew Reverend Show and you're in Florida and you have a giant snail problem, what should you do? So I went to Quora.com. I'm not too sure what particular type of website this is, but it is a question and answer forum type website. The question was, what happens when you put salt on a giant African land snail? Well, it proceeded to say that it would kill it. It proceeded to say that it would get rid of the problem. So there's a lot of salt water in Florida. So I think they could just probably just spray some on top of the snail and it would die. So I don't think that'd be too hard to get rid of. But at the same time, if they're elusive and they hide under things and they can burrow and they don't really make noise. And I guess you only know there's a problem when your house falls over because there's no more stucco or concrete holding it up. You know, think about that. Other people that asked this question were bombarded by PETA type folk that were saying, don't put salt on the giant African land snails. Don't do that because they'll die a horrible death. Well, you're going to die a horrible death if you get meningitis. You're going to die a horrible death if your house falls into the ocean because of all the concrete and stucco that's gone because of the gulls. Okay? Sometimes you got to protect your home from the giant land snails, okay? Sometimes you got to listen to the Matthew Reverend Show to get some advice on how to get rid of those land snails, okay? Put some snalt on the giant land snails. Some snalt. It would be snalt because it would be snail salt. Matthew Reverend Show, weird news. OurSpecialTea.shop. OurSpecialTea.shop can provide all of your loose leaf tea needs. The loose leaf tea that I'm drinking today is called Tropical Storm. It's delicious. It's probably the most tropical tea that has been provided to me by OurSpecialTea.shop. Tropical Storm is bright green tea filled with fruits of the tropic. Mangoes, passion fruit, papaya, pineapple. Oh my, quite delicious, quite amazing. I'm so thankful to have OurSpecialTea.shop as a sponsor of the Matthew Reverend Show. Once again, you can email them at OurSpecialTea.shop for an order. But if you are a veteran or a first responder, you get 20% off every single day. info@OurSpecialTea.shop to get that particular discount. Otherwise, you can enjoy their beautiful website, their wonderful customer service, and of course, this delicious tea, OurSpecialTea.shop. God has a plan for your life. So should you make plans if God has a plan for your life? Should you make plans if God has a plan? You don't want to get in the way of God. God is sovereign. God is great. God is good. God is above us. God created everything in existence. So should we have a plan? Yes. Yes, we should have a plan because we have a brain, because we know the details of our life. Even though he knows more of the details of our life, like in an intimate way, in an intricate way, in a fulsome way. Wink. Word of the day. But we need to have a fulsome plan as well. We need to have a plan that we can focus on, because what great things have been created with a great plan? We're going to go over that in a little bit. So because God has a plan for your life, let's go to the Bible. It's always a good idea to read the Bible. This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare or peace and not for evil, to give you a future and of hope. So hope comes from God. A future of positivity comes from God. Peace comes from God. Welfare comes from God, not of evil. So the opposite of hope, the opposite of love, that comes from the darkness. You don't want that in your life. The darkness also has a plan, but he's more of a reactive type situation where he sees you moving towards God, getting closer to God, and he'll try to knock you down a couple notches, okay? That's what the devil does. The devil seeks to destroy you in your life. That's what his plan is. What is your plan for your life? God's plan is for you to prosper. God's plan is for you to find love. God's plan is for you to exude love, for to worship him, to worship what he's done for you in your life, everything that he's got going on for you, to love people, to love on people, to celebrate life with other people, to fellowship, to praise him, to love him, to help each other out, to sacrifice our time for each other, words of affirmation, to touch them, to help them, to heal them. That's what God's plan is for our life, okay? So what is your plan for your life? So we read Jeremiah 29:11. And so, yes, we should have a plan for our lives. We should have a plan that correlates with God's plan. We should have a plan that works side by side with God's plan, that complements God's plan. So let's read more. It's always a good idea to read the Bible. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. This is God speaking. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. He's watching you. He's watching the Matthew Evans show. He's watching you watch the Matthew Evans show. It's quite meta. Okay. He's watching all of us. He loves all of us. He's got a plan for us to benefit from the existence that we're living. This is what God is about. This is what God is. God is love. Okay. So I'm so thankful that I'm alive. So that was part of his plan. And I want to, and I have a relationship with him. He came into my life and I accepted him as my Lord and personal Savior. And now that we're best friends and he's my leader, I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to give him my temple. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to give him my plans so that my plans correlate with his plans. I've had things that I've tried to plan in my life that fell through because it ultimately wasn't his plan. So was I upset? Was I resentful? I tried my darndest not to be upset and resentful because of course it was hard. I didn't get what I wanted and I planned for it. And I thought it was righteous and I thought it was the best way. And I thought it was the way to go. Well, apparently it wasn't because it didn't happen because it wasn't God's plan. So what you need to do in that essence is worship him more. Work out your worship muscle to love him more, to know that he is good and that your ways are not perfect, but his ways are. And then if you want to be part of his plan, you're going to love him and worship him and be part of that plan and not feel resentful and get upset at your daddy, your spiritual daddy, who's God. You're not going to do that. So let's read this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And he will make your paths straight. Now, I've switched a couple different versions of the Bible in these three different verses, but that is not the point of what I'm speaking about. The point that, well, maybe it is, and since that's God's plan, that maybe you heard him through these three different versions. We're going to have a whole show about the different versions of the Bible, and I'll probably bring my dad into it, and it's going to be quite a fulsome show. Wink, word of the day. All that said is go back to what I'm speaking about now is God's plan for your life and your plans that should correlate with his plan. So if you trust in the Lord, do not rely on your own understanding. So understand that God loves you. Understand that he has a plan for you and that he wants you to benefit from the life that you're living. Got it? So that's what you should understand. When it says your own understanding, it means like your selfishness or your wants, your desires, your flesh. Because to love God goes against your natural flesh. To love God goes against your natural instinct because it's a faith-based situation. He's not here sitting with us. So, and I can't touch his garment and see the holes in his hands and to see that beautiful face that I can't look upon because I'm so unrighteous. So he's not here physically, but he is here spiritually. He's watching the show. He's watching me do the show. And I'm in love with that. And so that I'm humbled. So I want to speak his word. And that's why we're reading his word. I want to speak his truth. Because he is truth, he is love, he is God, he is the way, he is the light. So I'm just so in love with all that. And so it's just spilling forth. So I want to put those words, put those emotions, put those concepts into a plan that I can focus on, plan that I can move forward with so that I can be more in his will, more in his path, more in his will. Because he's going to make my path straight. That's what the Proverbs say. He's watching me. He's got his eyes on me. He loves me. He wants to see me benefit from the existence that I have going on. He wants us to be filled with righteousness. Okay, it's almost an understatement to those that read the Bible and understand God. That's not really too hard to understand. But that said, righteousness in our thoughts, righteousness in our physical health, righteousness with our money. Okay, so because the body is the temple of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to move my notes here so I don't have to move my head down so much. Matthew Ebert Show. that said is, the body is the temple of the Lord. Okay, so think of it as the church that you go to. You go to church, right? You should be going to church. You should be fellowshipping with other Christians. It's quite important. If you need a church to go to, comment down below. It'll point you in the right direction. Matt, because you know where all the great churches are. No, I know where men and women of God worship. And I know that they worship with other men and women of God. And I know, and I'm thankful for those brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know that it doesn't matter what denomination you're going to, that they're worshiping God. Okay? That's why I can point you in the right direction. I'm not above anybody. I'm humbled before God Almighty. And I know I can point you in the right direction because I've been pointed in the right direction. Let's continue. The body is the temple of the Lord. It's your church. So you should go to church. You go to church, right? So it's the building. It's the physical place that you're at. So the Lord is in this physical place that I'm at. Okay. So what does it mean? Your thoughts. What is preached? What is preached at that pulpit? What are your thoughts that are in your head? Are they of God? Are you getting rid of the bad thoughts? Are you exercising? I forgot what this method's called, but it's almost like a triangle shape. And the thought comes in and you give it to God and he either gives it back to you to stay and to meditate on or he gets rid of it. It's like a. And so it's a good thing. It's a good brain exercise. A thought comes in, you give it to God and he filters it whether you should keep it or not. Whether it comes to women, whether it comes to buying things, whether it comes to where should we go on vacation, where should I take this picture with this particular person, where should I go for my ministry? There's all kinds of like things that happen in your brain really quickly. And to keep a sound mind is to keep a godly mind, is to keep a righteous mind, is to keep what is preached at your metaphorical temple, at your metaphorical church. This is the temple of the Lord. So what are the thoughts? What are the words coming out of your mouth? What is being preached in your church? What is being preached out of your church? What does it look like? What does your temple look like? These are ways that you can become more righteous. That's to review. What's your physical appearance? Are you working on your physical appearance? Are you putting the right foods in? Are you heavily inebriating yourself every single evening? Do you have issues with gluttony? Do you have issues with Crohn's disease? Is there some kind of dietary situation going on that I can pray for, that we can pray for as the Matthew Ebert Show audience? Let me know. Comment down below. Direct message me. You know how to get a hold of me because you're watching the Matthew Ebert Show. But I'm just thinking like, I love people and I want to see people benefit from the lives that they're living. Now, I'm beginning a workout regimen. It's real simple and it's here at the house and it's not too elaborate or fulsome. I love the word of the day. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Anyway, so it's not too rigorous or anything like that. But at the same time, I think I might need to increase it. I think I might need to get up on my friends' levels because you know they're doing quite well for themselves physically. And I want to get on that level as well. And so I think I'm going to increase what I do. But I'm so thankful that I have a mindset that can keep physical in a proper way. Because when you're at your church, you're on the temple of the Lord. When you go to your literal church, the bathroom is disgusting. And there's a weird stain on the carpet. And there's dust on the cabinets. Like, no. We need to take care of this. This is the temple of the Lord. This is where God is. This is where God resides. Yes, he resides inside, which that's why you need to make sure it's all physically great. Or attempting to do so. Attempting to find healing. Attempting to find health. But so let's work together on that. You know, comment down below. But I'm thankful for having like the mindset of, you know, how do you eat? How do you stay so thin? I reduce as much sugar as I can and I eat as much of the rainbow as I can. I try to put at least three different colors in each meal, whether it be purple, orange, red, green, black, white, brown, tan, liquid. fried chicken day. No, but I'm seriously, yes, I'm going to be enjoying some fried chicken as well, but I'll be having it with probably some steamed carrots and some collard greens because you got to put nutrients in your body. It's a real thing. You need the K, you need the E, you need the D, you need the D3, you need the K2, the K2 to help the D3 upload. I got where is it? It's this doctor book here. And then there's a vitamin Bible up there as well. Okay. It's good to read. Okay. Keeps your mind sharp. That's part of the mental. That's staying mentally active. That's staying mentally healthy. That's preserving and providing for the temple of the Lord. Let's move on. Money. How are the finances in your church and your local church that you go to? How are your finances in the church, the temple? Okay, that you reside in, that God resides in. Okay, because your consciousness is in there with God. Okay, but my point is, how do you spend your money? That's quite spiritual. It's way more spiritual than you think, how you spend your money. Well, it's mental and it's emotional. Well, those combined can be quite spiritual. Like, what are you worshiping? That's what you spend your money on. Look at your finances. Look at your budget. Do you have a budget? You need one because a budget is a plan for your money. A budget is a plan for where your money should go. You didn't provide the arms and legs that you'd utilize and your brain that you utilize for what God is, for the job that God brought you, and the ripple effect of existence, all the pieces that he's putting together. He provided your legs. He provided your arms. He can take them away like that. It's called grace, okay? When you understand how small you are and how fragile you are compared to God, just be thankful that you just took the next breath, okay? Be thankful that you're blinking and then your heart's beating and you're breathing watching the Matthew Reverend Show or listening to the Matthew Reverend Show on Spotify or Apple iTunes. Comment down below. No, but seriously, the temple of the Lord is the church, is you. You are the body of the Christ. Wherever you go, God, if you're, there's two or more, he's gathered. Find other Christians to hang around. Find other Christians to help you improve your ways. You can help them improve their ways. Your weaknesses are their strengths. Their weaknesses are your strengths. Band together. Let's do this, baby. It's called the church. It's called the kingdom. I love you. I love life. Let's make a plan for this. The great things in life have only been built through a plan. Mount Rushmore. Yes, he used dynamite to blow up part of the different parts here and there, segments of Mount Rushmore, so that he could create the faces of those presidents. But he also got up there with scaffolding and ropes, and he chiseled away. And it was a plan because he was an artist, and he was a geologist, and he understood how big and grand this structure was going to be, how beautiful this Mount Rushmore was going to be, how iconic and how visited this space was going to be. He knew that because he felt that in his heart. That's why he created it. The Empire State Building. It was a feature of the World's Fair in Paris. I forget what particular year. I should be doing more research here on the Matthew Reverend Show. Wink. But my point is, it was built with a plan, and then a plan was implemented afterwards to keep it going because it was so fun to go to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower. Okay, so Mr. Eiffel was the one that invented the tower, and he built the tower, and it pretty much looks like a skeleton of a tower. I think it was more of an art project, if anything. But he had a plan for it. Therefore, it's built. Therefore, it's still here. Therefore, it's still iconic. Do you want your life to be iconic? Do you want your life to be filled with greatness? Make a plan. God has a plan for you to thrive. God has a plan for you to prosper. God wants you to see you benefit from the life that you're living. God wants to see you benefit from the life that you're living. So it's a live show. So sometimes people call me in the middle of the show. So I apologize about that. Hopefully we're still recording. And I want to make sure that we are still recording. We are still recording here on the Matthew Reverend Show. It's a live show. I'm so thankful for you joining. So thankful for you listening. Let's continue what I was saying. Tesla. Was Tesla built on just a whim? No, it was a great idea. It was a plan that was implemented with really intelligent people. And look where they are now. You can't even think about electric cars without thinking about Tesla. You can't think about Tesla without thinking about being a great company. Come on now. And so it's like, it's fascinating. So have a plan for your life. Know where you're going. Know where you want to go. Continually pray about it. Iron sharpens iron. So work with friends. Work with other believers to keep you in tune, keep you intact with that great plan, keep you in check so that you can stay on that great path, on that great plan, have accountability partners so that you can do that. Anytime I'm giving advice here on the Matthew Reverend Show, it's for me. Okay, I'm human. I'm dirty as rags. I'm a sinner saved by grace, okay? So hopefully through this segment, you got some great advice. Hopefully through this segment, you got some great insight. These are things that I need to work on myself. Like literally, I was writing things that I need to improve on, and then some kind of sermon thing came out of it, okay? God bless you. God bless America. Make a plan. God has a plan for your life. He loves you. He wants you to benefit. I know I keep repeating myself, but sometimes people listen to this segment, not that segment, and the beginning of the segment, the middle of the segment, and you don't know when you're going to tune into the Matthew Reverend Show. So God bless you. Make a plan for your life because God wants to bless you. All right. Thank you once again for listening to the Matthew Reverend Show. Oh, my goodness. I'm writing down this plan for my life. I'm writing down what God has for me in my life, and it's quite plentiful. I am a rich man when it comes to friends. I'm a rich man when it comes to the love that I have for my family, the love that I have for my community, the love that I have for my church. You share the same. You be a friend. Otherwise, you're not going to have friends. Use your words. Otherwise, you're going to lose your words. Have a fulsome existence. Okay? Let us dance. You like this shirt tie combination with this little accent? I thoroughly do. I've never done it before, but yes, I'll be doing it very soon at church. Join me. I'm harmonizing to the EDM. God bless you guys. I'm so thankful for you listening. So thankful for you watching. Please join me live every Wednesday, live every Sunday here on the interwebs. You can listen to the show as I post it. You can watch the show as I post it. God bless you. God bless reality. You know we need it.